This is Digital Story Podcast number 959, August 6, 2024. Today's theme is County Fair. I'm Derek Story. If the steamy summer doldrums have put your photography on ice, then a colorful county fair might provide the inspiration to get back outside. Even though fairs themselves are timeless activities, the rules have changed considerably. This week, I punch your ticket for the Sonoma County Fair in Northern California, and we'll also talk a bit about the great photography during the Olympics. All of this and more on today's TDS Photography Podcast. I hope you enjoy the show. So, two big things to talk about today. I'm going to start out with the county fair because everyone has access to the county fair, basically everyone. Whereas with the Olympics, well, not so much. But we can enjoy the Olympics through the lenses of great photographers, and we're going to talk a bit about them today as well. But I want to start out with the county fair because I think county fairs and those types of activities during the summer can really help get us out there with our camera again. Yes, we get one or two trips during the summer, you know, vacation or whatever we happen to be able to engage in, maybe even a workshop. But day to day, sometimes we just give in to the heat, quite honestly. Those of us that live north of the equator, it just gets hot, and heat sometimes drains our creativity. But county fairs are such a wild event in the sense that there is so much diversity in terms of photo subjects there. We have people, we have animals, we have kids, we have families, we have high schoolers on their first date. We have all of that stuff under the big top, so to speak. And I just feel like if you haven't been able to get out and get some shots, see when your county fair is playing or see when another county fair is playing that's within your reach, and make a plan and get out there and do some shots. I promise you, it will energize your photography and get your juices flowing again. Now, county fairs, as I said in the top of the show, these are pretty much timeless activities. You know, they hold to tradition, at least the ones that we have here in Northern California. However, because of the things that are happening in society right now, a lot of the rules around what you can do at a county fair have changed a bit, and it really warrants some preparation in order to get the most out of your photo shoot. In the old days, and I mean anything, you know, before 2011, in the old days, we could just walk right in, right? You pay your however much you have to pay, $5 or $10 to get in. Walk right in. You can have a backpack full of camera gear. You can have a SLR draped around your neck with a big old lens, and you can just take as many pictures as you wanted. And that was fun, I have to tell you. I mean, I have been taking pictures at county fairs ever since I was a teenager, you know, with black and white film, with color film, with digital cameras, you name it. And it was always a fun photo shoot for me. And I used to take a serious camera with some serious lenses and all that good stuff and just have a great time. However, now things have changed a lot in terms of security. And I really noticed the biggest change this year. It really warrants going to the website of whatever fair you think you're going to attend and check in with the rules and regulations, because even stuff that you think you know have probably changed as well. Let's start with camera gear, because that's the logical place to start. At the Sonoma County Fair here now, they have a clear bag rule. In other words, if your bag or whatever you want to bring in is bigger than a woman's pocketbook, then it needs to be in a clear bag. Well, that is not ideal for camera equipment, right? Okay, I've got a clear backpack full of very expensive gear and I'm walking around in a crowded situation. What could go wrong? Yeah, yeah. So not so good for photographers. And then they doubled down on us by saying that no professional camera gear allowed inside. Now, that is subject to discretion, right? What one person deems professional camera gear, another person might go, hey, I am just an amateur enthusiast, and you're going to lose that argument, right? So anything that looks professional probably is professional to security at the fair. So suddenly this seems like a lot of work, and you're going, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know what camera for sure I can bring in. If I bring in any accessories or additional lenses, they have to be in a clear bag, you know, basically just showing off to everybody your expensive stuff. And so the way to go, I promise you on this, and it'll be fine. It'll be fine. We invest in smartphones, right? We get good smartphones with very good cameras for a reason. This is one of those reasons. Just trust me. Forget about the SLR, forget about the mirrorless camera, forget about your full frame Sony. I know it would be fun to shoot at twilight in the fun zone. I get that, but don't do it. Just leave it all behind. Make sure your smartphone is charged up, and that's what you go in with. First of all, you can get through security, no problem. Second of all, everyone is shooting with a smartphone, so you're not going to stand out any more than the next guy. And third, they take really good pictures. Now, if you haven't practiced with your smartphone, for instance, using night mode on your smartphone, which comes in very handy at twilight or at night in the fun zone at a fair, then bone up on it. Just bone up, get those little things down so that when you're in the situation, you can go right to the mode that you need to go. So I went with my iPhone 15, the Pro Max, and that's all I brought in. And I have to tell you, I love the shots. I absolutely love the shots. We'll talk more about processing and stuff in a minute, but the pictures are fantastic. And I just shot HEIF format, when I could, the super HEIF, you know, the one with more resolution, depending on which camera I was using on the iPhone, because, you know, I have three different cameras there. I didn't shoot RAW, didn't mess with RAW, didn't need to, and the pictures look fantastic. They really do. However, they did require a little enhancement, and I'll talk about how I did that in a second. So the bottom line on all of this is, you know, part of the reason why you're going to the fair or any sort of event like that is to have fun. So don't create friction where friction isn't necessary. In other words, don't try to get in an argument with security about whether your camera's professional or not, and or whether you don't want to carry around $10,000 worth of gear in a clear bag. Just avoid all of that. You invested in a good smartphone for a reason, and this is one of those reasons. Now, another thing just to keep in mind, simple things like water bottles are not allowed at the Sonoma County Fair, at the fair that I went to. And I thought if I just brought in a clear water bottle, it'd be fine. Well, the website says no. The only water you can bring in is in a sealed water bottle. In other words, one that you buy at the store that hasn't been opened yet, a disposable plastic bottle, that's the only water you can bring in, and you can only bring in one of those. So that's the kind of stuff you need to know ahead of time. And that's what we did. We just each brought one of those, and it was fine, and it got us through most of the evening. We're going late in the afternoon anyway, because that's the good light. The one water bottle, and then, you know, buy something to drink additionally if you need to. So just bone up and be ready for all of that so that you get through security nice and smooth. You don't have any problems, and you get your fair experience off to a good start. Time of day for me is important at the fair. I don't want to be out there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in the summer where it's scorching hot, where it's scorching contrasty, and where everything is just more difficult. So generally speaking, what I like to do is go late in the afternoon, around 5, 5:30, something like that. It's still a little warm and it's still a little bright, but there's other stuff to do at the fair. There's all sorts of indoor exhibits, and one of my favorite indoor exhibits, I don't take pictures here, but I enjoy them, is the photography show. There's always a giant photography competition at almost every fair on the planet, and it's fun to go in there and second guess the judges. Right? That's what we do. We go, look at this. This one only got a red second place ribbon, and it's right next to a blue ribbon that you think is half as good, and that whole thing. And the one thing I would tell you about when you're in the photography competition, the exhibit at the fair, is just pay attention to your surroundings, because what you don't want to do is be dissing a photo when the photographer, the very proud photographer who took that photo, is standing right there next to you, right? Because you don't know who took these shots, right? And they could be there showing their family while you're, telling your partner, what a terrible shot it is and how it didn't deserve a blue ribbon. So just be aware of your surroundings there while you're talking and having fun. But I do the inside stuff in the beginning. We have a great flower show here. In fact, one of the pictures in my slideshow is from the flower show. So you go in there, you do that, the photography exhibit, go to the big barn, see what's going on with the animals, all that kind of stuff, and just let the day slowly get a little cooler and let the tones get a little warmer and just let everything be a little less contrasty. About this time, I usually get something to eat, and I don't know about the fairs that you have around you, but the fair food is, of course, one of the highlights of the fair, right? The stuff that you would never eat any other time of the year, but you will have two of them at the fair. So this year I had a corn dog, which is, corn dogs for me at the fair are a must. And I don't want to hear any discussion about how good or bad they are for me or any of that sort of stuff. If I'm going to the fair, I'm having a corn dog. And then I also had a chicken gyro, with the Greek yogurt and all that kind of stuff. And remember to take pictures of the food establishments themselves. I mean, some of these signs that they have advertising and the neon and the flashing lights and all that, a lot of that's been around since like the 60s, the 1960s. And, it's just great stuff that you don't see anywhere else. So take pictures of the signs, of the food, and of people, in your party eating the food, because there's a reason why you eat fair food outside, because inside you would have to like clean the floors afterwards. Where outside, you don't really care. You just have fun and you just enjoy it. So all those little human interaction things, the crazy stuff they have. One of my pictures that I took is of a sign in setting, right? And it's Krispy Kreme donut hamburger with bacon and cheese. Yes, that's right. It's a hamburger with bacon and cheese. And instead of a bun, it's a Krispy Kreme donut sliced in half. That becomes the bun. So you have a donut, you have bacon, you have cheese, you have a beef burger, which I'm sure is not low fat beef, and then they just mush it all together. That's the kind of stuff you see at the fair. Now, that's too far for me. I won't go into that at all. I won't have that. I'm stick with my corn dog. But it makes good photography, right? It's a great sign, and if you get a picture of someone holding one, even better. All that kind of stuff. So make sure you photograph all that stuff. About this time is a good time to go to the fun zone, because now it's twilight. The lights in the fun zone are up. All the rides are running and they have their lights on. People are kind of moving around a lot more because they're a lot more comfortable now. And this is your final shoot, right? This is the cherry on top of the hot fudge sundae, right? The fun zone at twilight going in tonight. Now, I think twilight is better than complete darkness. Complete darkness, I think, is tough because it's very contrasty and you lose that whole sky. Whereas twilight, especially if you have any clouds in the sky, it can just be gorgeous. Just have this magical feel. The tones are warmer. It's easier for your camera to capture the images. The shutter speeds are faster. All that kind of stuff. So I recommend twilight for the fun zone, and then just keep shooting until you get into darkness. And then once it's dark, at least for me, the show's pretty much over, because that's a whole different kind of photography. And there are some good shots to be had, but you know, compared to what you get at twilight in the fun zone, I think darkness is a grade down. But if you don't want to go home yet and you just want to keep hanging out, then keep hanging out and keep taking pictures, and you probably will get some really nice shots. So then you go home. So it's fun. You've had some good fair food. You've got a whole, you know, camera roll full of pictures. Hopefully you had fun with the people that you went with, you know, all this stuff. And you're going, man, I love summer, right? You're going, I love summer. Summer is so much fun. As opposed to, you know, 2 days earlier, we're going, God, I hate summer. It's so darn hot. I don't feel like doing anything. So now you're all energized and everything. And now this is the second fun part, which is then playing with your pictures. I like to use, for fair shots, for some reason, this has always worked really well for me, I like to use Luminar. So since I'm shooting with my iPhone, all of my pictures are going into Photos, which is fine. So I go through them, I create an album, put all the pictures in the album, go through and heart the ones that I want. And those will be the ones that end up in a slideshow. And then in Photos, you know, Luminar Neo or Luminar 4, whatever you happen to have, that's an editing extension for Photos. And you can use Luminar with Lightroom if you're a Lightroom person, or you can just use Luminar as a standalone. However you want to use it, you can use it. But there's something about Luminar. Here's the filters that I really like on it. AI Enhance, for sure. AI Sky Enhance, for sure. And that really played nicely for me on this last fair shoot, because at twilight, I had blue sky with clouds streaming through it, and they were very 3D. And the thing about it, at the time I was shooting the photos, they looked good. But this is the thing about when you know what you're going to process your images in, later, you know how they're going to turn out. So you can visualize that in your head and not worry about getting it, you know, exactly the way that you want in the camera. So I knew those skies were going to be fantastic using the AI Sky Enhance. And they were fantastic in AI Sky Enhance. So I use those two main AI tools. And then I go through and I like the detail enhancement, you know, where small details, medium details, and large details. That works really nice on a lot of the textures and details in the fair shots. And then my magic, well, I have two magic filters, and one is Golden Hour, and you can find that usually under landscape. You know, they move these filters around in Luminar depending on which version you have. But Golden Hour works really nice. It just sort of warms up all the tones in a very elegant way. And the people look very healthy and alive, and the rides and everything, all the colors are very vibrant. Golden Hour is a fantastic filter for late afternoon fair shots. And then I use a little Orton effect, just a little Orton effect. Because the one thing I will say about when I shoot with the iPhone is that sometimes it's a little too edgy. It's a little too digital. It's a little too sharp isn't the right word, detail isn't the right word, but you know what I mean. It loses a little of what I call the natural photo look sometimes and gets a little digital looking. Orton effect is fantastic for taking the edge off those shots and kind of bringing them back to a little bit more of a film look. And the way that I use Orton effect is the same way that I do vignetting, which is you move the slider, the amount slider, over to where the effect is noticeable. And then once it's at that point, you back it off about a third. And that tends to be the right place for it. And the other thing is, if you open up the advanced tools in Luminar for Orton effect, there's a brightness slider. So if you add brightness to the Orton effect, it's a nice way to brighten up the shot And it's much easier and works better than, you know, trying to open up the shadows or trying to do one of the other tools. So the Orton effect with additional brightness from the Orton slider, that is a really nice combination. And it makes the photos from the iPhone, at least to my eye, look more like film shots, except they're more vibrant. They're more vibrant than film shots usually are. So that is my other magic filter. And that's another reason why I like Luminar for fair shots. Between Golden Hour, Orton Effect, and then the two AI Enhance and AI Sky. And then whatever else you want to do from there. Obviously, you have cropping and all that. And when you use Luminar with photos, then, you know, you just do save changes in Luminar. And the shot goes back to photos. It's totally non-destructive. In fact, you can do before and after in photos of your Luminar edits. And then if you want to do a little bit more tweaking in photos, you can do that. Now, the other reason why I like photos is because it's really easy to do the slideshow in photos, and I have complete access to my music library and all that kind of stuff. So once I do the editing of the shots of my favorites, and I only edit the favorites, everything else just stays in the album, then I do the slideshow. And I usually pick some nice music that I like, some music that I think is fitting out of my music library. And I do very basic slideshow. I don't do Ken Burns very much on fair shots because they're already kind of framed the way that I want them. So I don't want to be zooming in and out of them. But I do like nice dissolves as it goes from frame to frame. I like a nice dissolve. I don't have the pace too fast because I want people to be able to look at each image for a few seconds. So I have a nice casual pace with some good music. And the thing about it, whether you put it together on your phone or on your computer or on your iPad, no matter where you put it together, then all those changes are propagated to your other devices. So a lot of times I'll start working on it on the computer, and then I'll play with it a little bit more on my phone. And ultimately, these days, the way I show that slideshow most often is on the phone. And the phone is really nice for showing slideshows because I usually have a mix of verticals and horizontals, and which is good, right? That's good. And, you know, when I'm not shooting as well as when I'm only shooting like all horizontal or something like that. But when I have a nice mix of horizontal and verticals, that means that I'm really kind of in a groove. Well, the nice thing about when you watch the slideshow on the phone, you can start out in horizontal mode, which is most of my establishing shots are horizontals. And then when you get to the verticals, the viewer can just, you know, rotate the phone and they get a full screen on the vertical. And you know, I try to group my verticals like 1, 2, 3, something like that. And then if you go back to a horizontal, then they can just rotate the phone again and they get full screen on the horizontal. And, you know, I try not to be going back and forth on those verticals and horizontals, try to do them in groupings. But it allows you to really get the full image impact of each shot just very easily. And so I think the iPhone is fantastic for, you know, watching the slideshow. The speakers sound good. You can make some adjustments if you need to in terms of timing or change the music. It's just really an enjoyable experience. And of course, the really nice thing is that you always have the phone in your pocket, right? So you can whip out that slideshow and show it to anyone that you can get to stand there long enough. And then the last thing is the thing that we all know, which is don't make it too long. Don't make the slideshow too long. I think my current one has 18 images in it, and it feels about right. When I show it to the people, they're engaged at the end of the slideshow. They haven't started to kind of wiggle around. So that's a good sign. So I keep it about 18 at a nice casual pace with some good music. All the photos were edited in Luminar, which, you know, they just look fantastic. And that's a good combination, I think. You know, your smartphone and Luminar, very good. Luminar kind of offsets the few disadvantages of the smartphone. And then the other thing I will say that with the Pro Max, having that extra telephoto lens on there, the 5X, that did come in handy. And I did use it for a couple shots, and I was really glad that I have it. So, You know, we'll be coming up to new phones pretty soon. If you haven't invested in the one that gives you that telephoto, and who knows, they may give it to us in more phones now than just the big Pro Max. That telephoto, I don't use it very often, but when I do use it, I'm really happy that I have it. So anyway, that's the fair, and I have to tell you just from my own experience that it really got me going. And, you know, I'm taking off on a camping trip here in, well, as you're listening to this, I'm camping, right? So I'll be taking off a camping trip real soon, which you'll be hearing about. But it got me all primed up and ready to go for my next shoot. And I just thought it was a wonderful shot in the arm, and it was a lot of fun. And that corn dog was fantastic. All right, I want to talk about the Olympics for just a couple minutes because, oh my gosh, has the photography during the Olympics been fantastic or what? I mean, seriously. And if you haven't just searched on, you know, great photos from the Olympics or best shots from the Olympics, I encourage you to do so because I think the photographers are doing a fantastic job. And I'm looking at one page right now, CBS News, their best photos from the Paris Olympics. And I'm just kind of browsing through it. And I like this one because of the variety. You know, they have stuff from events that I haven't even watched, like the surfing photos, which I guess the surfing in Tahiti has just been crazy as I'm looking at these waves here. You know, of course, we're going to be talking about one particular surf photo in a few minutes. But I'm looking at gymnastics, diving, boxing, just everything. And these shots are just beautiful. And you're thinking about, okay, you know, I need some inspiration for my photography. And no matter what I'm doing, if I'm going to go to a skate park and take some shots, well, then look at the skateboard photos from the Olympics, right? And see what those photographers did. Same thing with cycling. You know, we get cycling shots here. And I think the cool thing about the Olympics is you get the best of the best from the photographers too, right? You get the best of the best of the photographers shooting the best of the best of the athletes. And it's in all these different categories, stuff that we shoot too. You know, we try to take pictures of cycling. We try to take pictures of track and field. We try to take swimming pictures. We try to take all of those shots at one point or another. And here you have the best athletes and the best photographers showing you how to do it. I mean, this is like taking a class in great sports photography with a whole variety of events to choose from. You like to shoot soccer? Look at the soccer shots. You know what I mean? This is just crazy. The female gymnasts, my gosh, some of the shots from that, especially of Simone Biles, you know, who just did fantastic. The rugby shots, the rugby was really good this year, and some really terrific shots from that. So I just want to remind you that right now, just a web search away, you have a fantastic tutorial in basically every sport that you would ever want to shoot with the world's best athletes. And it's worth your time to not only admire the great work of these athletes, but also the photographers who captured them. Now, getting to a couple specific stories, there's two of them I want to talk about. One of them is on Digital Camera World, and I have the link in the show notes. David Burnett does it again with his epic Eiffel Tower Olympic image on 4x5 film. Now, I got to meet David Burnett when I was working in Beijing, and I got to hang out with him and talk with him, and I tell you, what a treat. I mean, this guy has been big-time photographer for probably as long as I've been alive. I don't know. I mean, he has been doing it a long time. And the thing I like about David is that he's not afraid to pull out a 4x5 camera and shoot something that everyone else is shooting with, you know, let's say a Canon R1 or whatever they happen to be shooting with. This shot that he did, and again, I have the link in the show notes, with a 4x5, is just amazing. Let me read you a little bit what they say here. I must put my hand up in the air and say I had never heard of David Burnett until the 2012 London Olympics, when I saw his amazing work with his GraphX Pacemaker 4x5 speed graphic film camera. And for those who don't know what that is, it's a massive sheet film camera that's used by old press photographers in the 1940s. But this camera has been David's signature piece since the mid-2000s, and he has proceeded to produce outstanding work with it for the International Olympic Committee for no fewer than 4 Olympic Games. Since finding out about David and his work, I checked out his Instagram and then saw it. The Eiffel Tower background in all its glory with a volleyball pitch in the foreground. I know that everyone's talking about that Olympic surfing photograph, which we'll talk about in a moment, which equally deserves recognition. But for me as a film shooter, this Olympic image that has won over my mind, my heart, and my soul. And you can see this shot by going to this article, and it looks like a classic Olympic shot from like 1911 or something. It just has that wonderful vibe. It's beautiful. I mean, having an Olympics with the Eiffel Tower as your background, that's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. But here we are. David did a fantastic job with the shot, and it's really worth checking out. Now, let's get to the Olympic shot that everyone is talking about. And I have a link to this article. It's on Amateur Photographer. I have a link in the show notes. Epic photo of gravity-defying surfer Gabriel Medina in the air goes viral during the Olympics. And we've all seen this shot by now, captured by Jerome Brulé, of the surfer suspended in air with his finger up in the air. I think he had just won. And his surfboard on the leash is suspended in the air, parallel to him behind him. I mean, it's just an amazing shot. I mean, can you imagine how Jerome felt when he was looking at the back of his camera and he sees the shot back there? It's amazing and really has just blown everyone away. What I think is also interesting about this shot, and if you look at the article and really get a chance to look at it, I look at the shot and I would have edited the shot much differently. In fact, as I look at it, it doesn't look like Jerome did any post-processing on it, or if he did, it's minimal. The sky in the background is a cloudy sky. It's kind of bright. It doesn't look like he did any tonal adjustments on that. And because it is a bright background with the surfer, Gabriel Medina, against this bright background, he is somewhat underexposed. Now, not so much so that it gets in the way of the shot, but honestly, as I look at this shot, I was going, man, I would do two things. I would probably leave the sky alone because you don't want it to interfere with it. You want it to be a backdrop, right? But I probably would have opened up just a little bit the shadows on the surfer, and I probably would have warmed up the shot just a tad too. Now, you know, you're going, well, are you allowed to manipulate shots from the Olympics? Yes, you are. I mean, you can't like take him and suspend him in the sky. That has to be happening already. So you can't do that kind of manipulation, but you can do tonal manipulations for sure. And you can do color manipulations, adjustments, shall we call them. And that's what we did in the media center when I worked at the Beijing Olympics, right? That's what we were doing. However, the thing that I know from working at the Olympics, and the thing that has accelerated even more since I worked at the Olympics, is that you don't have time to do this, right? They want those photos right away. And when you have a shot like this that's so spectacular, he may have gone from camera to publishing, bam, like that, and just said, you know what? This photo is so good that it just stands as a natural shot where I don't have to do anything. So I'm very curious. I would love to talk to Jerome about this shot. I would love to hear what the workflow is. I haven't found anything on it yet. Anyway, just a fantastic photo. But I also think that it's interesting that I can't help looking at this photo and thinking, man, there's a couple things I would do to it as well. All right, let's take care of a little Virtual Camera Club business. First of all, I want to give a huge shout out to our Inner Circle members. These are the folks that keep my photography life interesting through their pictures, their comments, their participation, showing up for workshops, just all around enthusiasm that helps all of us who are members of the Inner Circle keep our energy up and our creativity flowing. If you're interested in becoming an Inner Circle member, all you have to do is go to the Patreon page. That tile is on every page of the digital story. You can nose around, you can sign up there. And then soon after you sign up, you will receive an invite to our Inner Circle space on Derek Story Online. And there you can start hanging out with the rest of the crew here. A big thanks to our Inner Circle for supporting this podcast. And I also want to acknowledge our friends at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the digital story. They have basically everything you need in terms of knowledge and supplies to produce great inkjet prints. And the inkjet printers these days are so good that all you really need is a little bit of knowledge, which, by the way, we're starting our inkjet printing workshop. And we're leading off the workshop with Drew hanging out with our workshop crew for both sessions, talking shop. I mean, what an opportunity. It's like being able to sit down with Willie Mays and talk about baseball. It's that kind of thing. But Drew's the guy that's in charge of the stuff that's on the Red River Paper site. So you can imagine what a cornucopia of knowledge he has inside his head. And the thing I love about Red River Paper is they share that knowledge with all of us. So if you haven't done this yet, if you haven't clicked on the Red River Paper tile that's on all the pages of the digital story, I encourage you to do that. Look at all the different types of paper that are available. Read the tutorials, get the tips, download the templates, and start making some beautiful stuff with your inkjet printer. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting this podcast. Right, it's going to do it for me today. I am off to the wilderness, but I will be back next week in time for another show. I hope you have a great week. Get out there, take some photos, stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.